Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, 49 and 50. Translation and purport of text 49 and 50 by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Maitreya Muni said, persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration, which means money, no payment, no paisa, no taka. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or the dark moon day, Purnamasya or Amvasya, on the day after Ekadasi, Dwadashi, or on the appearance of the Shravan Nakshatra, at the end of a particular tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipat, which is also a particular tithi, at the end of the month, or on Sunday. So, we're speaking this narration at the end of the month. Last month we were speaking. Such a recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Dhruva Charitra, should be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed in this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. Purport. Professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies. Pate Agni. Bhuk, Jada Bhuk. But they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. It is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Only one who is completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on Him for His personal maintenance, or even for the maintenance of His family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. The process can be summarized as follows. The audience, or the listeners of the Bhagavatam, they must be faithfully receptive to the Bhagavat message. And the reciter should completely depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat recitation must not be a business. If done in the right way, not only does the reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam achieve perfect satisfaction, but the Lord also is very satisfied with the reciter and the audience, and thus both are liberated from material bondage simply by the process of hearing. Om Anjanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militayam Nena Tasmai Shri Yadavenama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this verse, Sri Maitreya Muni is giving further elaborations of the details to attain the shrutifal of hearing, or the fruit of hearing, Dhruva Charitra, this wonderful story of the boy Dhruva. Of course, he was a Karma Mishra Bhakta, but nevertheless, he was a glorious and wonderful devotee of the Lord, teaching us so many important instructions about Bhakti Bhajan. So here he's speaking about time, Kaladeshan Patra. Yesterday we heard more about Patra, about the personalities, the place, the situation, the desh, for recitation of Dhruva Charitra. And here he's emphasizing the Patra and the Kal, the time. Dwadasi, Shravana Nakshatra, Mas Shesh, end of the month. Then he's saying the Sunday is a very auspicious day in general. And then there's a particular titi called Vyatipat. And one should hear in these times. These days that he's mentioning, Maitreya is mentioning these particular titis and days, these are always auspicious for any type of brat, for reciting shastra, for observing fasting, mon brat, or some eating brat, or giving charity, dan, tapa, or brat. These are all done on these type of days, Sunday, Dwadasi, etc. Purnamasi and Sankranti and Amavasya. These are auspicious days for spiritual activities. And then he describes that the audience should be favorable. Recitation should be done by a surrendered soul. Tirthapada Padashraya. Tirthapad. The Lord is the sum total, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the sum total of all holy places. His feet, the dust of His feet, are the most purifying element. Ayinanda tana jakinkaram patitam vam mishameva bambado kripaya tava parapankaja stita duli. Krishna duli, charan duli, go duli. The dust from the feet of Krishna are the sacred place of pilgrimage. The dust of Krishna's feet is sprinkled in this world in selected places called Tirtha Dhams or Tirthas. Or there's Tirtha and there's Dham. There's some slight distinction. But here he's saying that the Bhagavad reciter should be Tirthapad Ashraya, Tirthapad Parashraya. He should be surrendered to the feet of Krishna. He should be a Vaishnava. Further elaboration of what we discussed yesterday. And he should be a Brahman, a Vaishnava Brahman. But not only that, surrendered. Which means, as Prabhupada said in the purport, he's fully dependent on the Lord for his maintenance. Gotritve varanam tata. Gotritve varanam tata. This is the Sharanagati Vaishnav. The Sharanagati Vaishnav displays six different symptoms. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya nivarjanam. It says, Goptritve varanam tata. Goptritve, that my maintainer is Bhagavan. Krishna will maintain me. And Prabhupada mentions a point that he believes, he depends, the proper Bhagavad reciter, he depends on Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, because Sri Krishna is a subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. The proper reciter, Pracharak, Goswami, Brahman, etc., of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he depends on Krishna for his personal maintenance or the maintenance of his family. So Prabhupada is saying here that by saying two points here, he depends on his personal maintenance or the maintenance of his family, his personal family. It indicates that whether one is a sannyasi, speaker of Bhagavatam, or whether one is a grihastha with a family, both should be Tirthapad Parashraya. And they should exhibit the quality of Sharanagati, of depending on the Lord. Krishna Sharanam Mama, the Gujarati Vaishnavas, Sri Krishna Sharanam, they take shelter of the Lord. So the reciter of Bhagavatam, he depends. He's a sannyasi. I speak the Bhagavatam. If anything comes, that's nice. If nothing comes, I keep speaking. Let me die speaking. That's a sannyasi speaker, the vairagi, the brahmachari, sannyasi speaker of Bhagavatam. Then there's a grihastha speaker. Oh, he has 5 children. He has 10 children. He has the same bhav, same mentality. I speak the Bhagavatam. I'm a Brahmin. I'm a Pracharak. I'm a, what are they called? A Patak. Patak. Patak means the Patra. You're supposed to speak the Patra. So this is my Varna. My Varna Dharma to speak. So I speak and depend on the Lord. If someone gives some Dakshin, Guru Dakshin, at the completion of the Bhagavad speaking, well and good. Then I distribute to my family, I take some myself. simple living, high thinking. But now, Bhagavatam is big business, big, big business. There are Bhagavat colleges in Vrindavan where they train up Bhagavat speakers. Just like you have technical schools where they train up computer robots. You go to technical school, you become a computer robot. You learn how to be a robot. And this way you make your money. So there's technical schools. So there's Bhagavad colleges, which are technical schools that teach the technique of giving a Bhagavad Saptaha. And in any given moment in Vrindavan, there are about 400 Brahmins attending those schools. The technical schools. And it's a package. They teach you, these are the Charitras. Every single Bhagavad graduate of the Bhagavad technical school, he will speak the same katha. He will sing the same bhajans. He will sing the same Mangalacharana. They're like clones, Bhagavad Saptaha clones, marching, marching to the bank. And it's not the bank of the Yamuna. It's HDFC. It's a different kind. There's Yamuna Pulina and there's HDFC Pulina. Jamuna Pulina, HDFC Pulina, China Bank, Hong Kong Bank, Citibank, SBI, BOB, LB, AB, all the banks. These should be, Bhagavatam recitation should encourage you to take shelter of the banks of the Yamuna, the Rasastali. This is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. Become a particle of dust in the Rasastali to serve the lotus feet of Radha. The different things. So they all recite Rukmini Harana, they all recite the Janma Utsav, they all recite Dhruva Taricha, they all recite, it's just a stock program. So Prabhupada is mentioning here, this professional reciters are not too much appreciated. If you do a folio search, Prabhupada's quotations, you'll see that he's not very favorable about Saptaha. But he leaves some room if the speaker is pure and pure Vaishnava and he's glorifying the Lord and he's Tirthapad Parashraya, he has the qualifications and the audience is genuine, as the verse is saying, that they have Shraddha, what it says here, Shraddhananam, then Shravach, that they faithfully come to hear, then it seems that Prabhupada is giving some, this is possible, that one could hold a saptaha. But hearing in the Bhagavatam, there are some requirements. This, and if you read the Bhagavatam itself, because this is the point that Prabhupada would make, because the Mukhya Shastra for the Gaudiya Sampradaya is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam has also a Bhagavat Mahatmyam. In the Chaturdasa Skanda, in the 12th canto, there's the Bhagavat Mahatmyam describing the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What benefit you get by reciting the Bhagavatam on Dwadasi and all these other days that are mentioned by Maitreya Muni in this verse. But there's no mention about Bhagavat Saptaha. So oftentimes when Prabhupada is speaking about this Bhagavad Saptaha, someone's asking a question that Prabhupada, this Mayavadi is coming to Maya, to Mumbai to speak on Bhagavatam, what do you think? Oh, and then Prabhupada would get a little irritated in one sense. What are these professional reciters? And Prabhupada would be very emphatic. Nowhere in Shastra is mentioned this Bhagavad Saptaha. He says like this, you can see him. Nowhere it's mentioned. Where is it mentioned? It's probably, you could feel that there's some, he's not pleased because they're simply ripping off Krishna. Ripping off, using the Bhagavatam to exploit people for money and sense gratification. So Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. Because the message of Bhagavatam is surrender to God. The message of all the Vedic, what is the message of the Vedic literature? The message is threefold, sambandha, videya, and prayojana. When we hear properly the Srimad Bhagavatam, what should happen? Sambandha. We become established in a relationship with Krishna. Then we start to, that's sambandha, we start to act in that relationship, which means we start practicing devotional service. And that's abhideya. And if we heard the Srimad Bhagavatam correctly, then prayojan, the conclusion, we achieved the purpose of human life, the perfection of human life, which is Krishna Prema. This is Bhagavat Shravan. This is hearing the Bhagavatam. But that's not happening. The Prabhupada is very irritated. So, but you see there's other pran, Skanda pran, or especially Padma pran, because every pran has a mahatmyam. So Padma pran has a Padma pran, or mahatmyam. And then there's they have the Bhagavat mahatmyam. That's in English, you see, that's also in English. So there's some story about a 7-day recital. But there's an interesting point here that the acharyas describe. When we say saptaha, it means 7 days. But how is our life measured? There's different portions of time by which we can measure a human life. From a large scale gradation to a small scale. The small scale gradation of human life is breath, pran. You will live for this many breaths. 7.8 lakhs, 10,000, like this. You will live for 900,000 breaths. That's the small scale measurement of one's human life. And a larger scale is 100 years. But 100 years means 12 months. Every year is 12 months. So that's another measurement of life. Our life is 12 months. Our life is 100 years. Now, what is another measurement? 7 days. Life can be measured, and 7 days is a complete number. Seven. There's seven, there's 12, and there's 100. So when Parikshit Maharaj listened to the Bhagavatam for 7 days continuously, akanda shravan, not 2 hours in the morning. It used to be the tradition of Bhagavad Sapta was 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. People are lazy, and they're busy, and they're not that interested to hear. And the speakers don't want to waste the time. They waste too much time. They want to relax. So now the sapta has become 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, and sometimes it's only in the evening. Really reduced. From 42 hours a week down to 36 hours a week, down to 18 hours a week, 21 hours, 3 hours a day, 7 days. It's Kali Yuga. Fatafat. Push button, Bhagavad Saptaha. 42 hours. But what was Parikshit Maharaj's Bhagavad Saptaha? Akanda Bhagavad Shravan. 24 hours, Chobis Ghanta for 7 days. 7 times 24, 728. 14 to 168 hours. Is that right? 160. So the original septa was 160 hours of Bhagavad Shravan. Not bad. So why 7 days to Parikshit here? Because that's a whole life. A whole life. He basically, what's being said, the example is not that Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj heard for 7 days, so therefore it should be 7 days. Parikshit Maharaj heard for 7 days, so this is the origin of the Bhagavad Sapta. This is wrong. This is not the origin of Bhagavad Sapta. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes a dialogue between Shukadeva and Parikshit, compiled by Vyasadeva. And this is the setting. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the 7 days session of Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva, doesn't mention anything about Saptaha. What does the Srimad Bhagavatam say? Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Bhagavat Seva. Always serve the Bhagavatam. That means become a devotee of the Lord. So what people hear is 7 days Bhagavatam, but do they do Bhagavat Seva? Do they become servants of Bhagavan and servants of the Bhagavatas? Do they become Vaishnava Sevaks or Krishna Sevaks? No. They carry on, they roll on. They came in one way, they went out the same way. They came in as businessmen, attached to sense gratification, they sat for 7 days, 21 hours or whatever. They went out They collected something, no doubt. They collected Sukriti. They collected some Sukriti, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, so that in the future they could meet a proper Bhagavat reciter. So many that, in other words, the fruit of their hearing Bhagavatam from a bogus speaker, or not, let's say, non-Vaishnava, is that they'll get Sukriti, and then they'll get the opportunity to hear Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava. And when they hear Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava, their motivation will change. Their mentality will change. And they'll become inclined towards the Siddhanta of Bhagavatam, becoming a devotee, becoming a Bhagavat Sevak, a servant of Bhagavan. So, Parikshit heard for 7 days. What the example of Parikshit Maharaj is, he heard for 7 days, which means this life is measured in 7 days. He's showing the example that one should hear for his whole life. Our life is 100 years. Our life is 12 months. Our life is 7 days. Isn't it? 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. Is that the right measurement of our life? Is our life 6 days? It's 7 days. And he's also showing that we should hear for our whole life because he was a Kanda Bhagavat Shravan. For us, we sleep at night. He didn't sleep. We eat. He didn't eat. We drink water. He didn't drink water. This is the example. So where do we find this idea, Bhagavad Sapta? It appears in Padma Puran. Something is better than nothing. Right? So the story is there, you probably heard so many times, but it's an interesting story, and we like to hear stories. So there was one Brahmin, and he had, his sisters had a son named Dundukari. And he was a very bad person, very sinful person. He did all wrong things, sinful things. So he died and became a ghost. And that ghost was harassing the village of his family, this Kulagram, his family village. He was harassing everyone and haunting and disturbing everyone. So his stepbrother, he had one stepbrother named Gokarna. So Gokarna, somehow he received the idea, this is a summary, he received the idea that I will speak the Bhagavatam for 7 days. Like Shukadeva spoke to Parikshit. I will speak the Bhagavatam for 7 days to benefit my stepbrother, Dundukari, who became a ghost. Now it's interesting in the details that Dundukari, he was residing inside some bants and a bamboo pole. And that bamboo pole, according to the description in Padma Puran, had 7 layers. The bamboo, just like a tree, has outer bark. There's the bark of the tree, then there's inner layer. Just like we have skin and we have nerves, we have bones and flesh and fat. There's different layers of the bamboo. There's 7 layers, and the ghost was inside, in the middle of that bamboo. That was where he was, because ghosts sometimes they take residence in trees or bamboo or whatever. So Gokarna spoke the Bhagavatam for 7 days, and everyone in the village, they gathered around to listen to the recital. And after 7 days, what was happening, each day at the conclusion of the Bhagavad Sapta, 1 layer of that bamboo would fall off, would split off. The Samacharyas say that these 7 layers represent the 7 coverings of the Atma, the koshas. They represent the senses and the bodily senses, or the mind, hankar, the elements, panchabhuta. So when those seven coverings are gone, when the material coverings of the body, senses, mind, ego, when that's all purified and removed and shed and dropped, then you can get mukti. That's something they say like this, some symbology. So after the second day, the second covering of the bamboo broke, and then the third day. So after the 7th day, there was only 1 layer, 1 section, covering of the bamboo that broke, and the ghost was liberated. But at the same time, a Vaikuntha Viman appeared there with Vishnu Dutas. And they came into that assembly. And everyone saw, and Gokarna saw the Vishnudutas. And they also saw that Gokarna's stepbrother, Dundunkari, there's an explosion. Boom! This bamboo blew up, and then everything's happening like simultaneously. Like Kunti Viman's coming down, the chariot, carriage from the spiritual world. Everyone said, wow, this is quite a sensational ending. Ending on a bang. There's the end of the 7 days recital, and boom, there's the explosion. It wasn't terrorists either. The bamboo blew up. And then they're looking at the bamboo, and some being comes out of the bamboo. But then they see the Vaikuntha airplane, and there's very amazing. And they saw that Dundunkari was in a beautiful form. He was like a new rain cloud, blue in color. And he had a beautiful yellow silk dhoti. And he had lotus eyes. He had a beautiful tulsi mala around his neck. And he had a mukut on his head, a beautiful golden crown. He had attained the Vishnu Roop, Sarupya Mukti. And they saw that Dundunkari, assuming this form, he became liberated by hearing the Bhagavatam for 7 days from his stepbrother Gokarna. And he got on the Vaikuntha airplane. And he was going back to Vaikuntha. And then Gokarna said, wait. I have some question. Vaikuntha Dutas, Vishnu Dutas, please, I have a question. I see that my stepbrother got liberated. Because he was here, apparently, he was here residing in this bunts, in this bamboo, and he heard the Bhagavatam. And by the purifying effect of that Bhagavatam, he attained Sarupya Mukti. Same form as Vishnu. And now he's going back to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Prapti. So he heard the Bhagavatam, he's getting this fabulous result. But what about everybody else? There's so many other people here hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where's all the Vimans for them? There's only one car and there's 500 of us. So there's only one Viman for Dundunkari. So then the Vaikunthavasi say, well, yes, so there's an explanation for that. Because there's a different quality of the hearing of the other people in the audience. The quality of their hearing was not the same as your stepbrother Dundunkari. They were there, they were sitting in the class, some were sleeping, as usual. It's an old-fashioned tradition, long-standing tradition. Some were sleeping, some were thinking of their families, some were thinking of their businesses. So the quality of hearing was not proper. So then Gokarna said, well, what are the qualities that Dundunkari manifested? What was the quality of his shravan? Because here it says that Maitreya Muni is saying it should be Shraddha. He says Shravayat. Shravayat Shraddha. Shraddhanam. He says one should hear with faith. One should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with faith. What does it mean? Bhagavat Shuddha is called Shastriya Shraddha. Faith in Shastra. Shuddha Shraddha. Pure faith. So what does it mean to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with Shraddha, faith? It means that when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Charitra of Bhagavan and his devotees, and their Upadesh and Upakyan, their teachings and instructions, we have full belief and confidence that everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is absolutely true. This is one meaning of Shraddha, Bhagavat Shraddha, Shraddha, Shravan, Shraddha, faith in the topics of Bhagavatam. I believe, without a doubt, I have full confidence and faith that everything in the Bhagavatam is the absolute truth. That's the first section of faith. There's two sections of faith. And the other section of faith is, I really believe that I have to follow I have to follow the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That these injunctions, these vidhis, these teachings are for me. And I believe that, I fully believe that if I follow these teachings of Bhagavat, this Bhagavat Upadesh, that I will attain all perfection in life. I will attain all knowledge. I will attain all happiness. I will attain all success. And finally, I will attain the complete perfection of human life, which is realizing my eternal loving relationship with Krishna and going back to the spiritual abode, just like Dundankari went back to Vaikuntha. This is the meaning of hearing with faith. So the Vishnu Dutas, they explain that the quality of hearing, this is one point, and commenting on this verse, this word Shraddha, that Maitreya Muni says, this is how we should hear, Shraddha. And Shraddha means this: I accept and fully believe it's all true. And I believe that if I follow it, and I will follow it, and I must follow the teachings of Bhagavatam. This is Amalagyanam. This is Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is a pure teaching that is only giving me the real perfection of life. All success, all happiness, all perfection. So the Vishnudutas, they said to Gokarna that there's two qualities of the hearing of Dundankari. What are those two qualities? Manana and bhajan. Manana and bhajan. These are the two qualities that he had and nobody else had. There were 500 people sitting in the Bhagavatam class, and only one who was not even in a corporal form, he was not even embodied, he was disembodied, he was in subtle body, bhut, ghost. Only he got the full benefit of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Purna Shutifal. Purna Shutifal. The Bhagavatam offers so many things. We heard 2 days ago the Bhagavatam offers prowess and power and money and success and position. Vakama sarva kama va moksha kama udharidi. Sarva kama, you have all desires. Worship Krishna, bhakti tivrena. Study Bhagavatam. But the ultimate, the purna phal, the complete fruit of Bhagavatam is prem. Prem prapti, vaikuntha prapti. So only one in the whole assembly attained the full fruit of Bhagavatam. Purna phalam. A ghost. Because he was hearing with great concentration. Why? Because he was in a very humble mood. Because he was suffering as a ghost. Ghosts is no fun. So this is also a requirement. The quality of our hearing should be saturated with humility. I'm big this, I'm big that. You're big nothing. You can be big, but you'll never understand Bhagavatam. You'll never attain the true fruit of Bhagavatam. You're a big person, you have too much hankar, position, power, prestige. You'll get fruits of the Bhagavatam. You'll get more position, more power, more prestige, more money by your study of Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam is cup of riksha. Bhagavatam is Krishna Sarup. But this ghost, Dundankari, he was in very suffering, humble condition. So humility is one of the qualities enter the Bhagavat Shravan. The utmost humility. We come crawling into the Bhagavat class. Like when you go to Gokul, all these pandas there are making people crawl into the temple to take darshan, Nanda Nishoda, Prachin Gokul. They say, oh, you've come to Prachin Gokul. He said, little Gopal's a little baby here. And he's with Mother Yashoda, he's in the cradle with Balaram, and you should be very quiet. And you can't go in walking because he'll get scared. He sees big people, 7 foot tall Russians, ha ha. Gopal will get very frightened. So please, everyone, get down, down, get down. You have to come into the Gokul temple on your hands and knees. This is a new trick they're doing to put everybody into submission, so when they hit them up for a donation, they'll already be like surrendered. I mean, you throw someone on the floor and they're lying on the floor, that's now give a donation. Well, he's already submitted his body, he's in dandavats on the floor, so he's more submissive to the idea of giving you some money. Very clever technique. We should use it at the airport. I don't think it'll work. Please, sir, would you please get down on all fours? Please get down and crawl on your hands and knees. Ha! Ah, boom! I'll give you a knuckle sandwich. So, So this humility is required. So he was suffering, but we don't think we're suffering. So when we come, okay, Bhagavatam, I'll come whenever I want, this, that. So he was very humble. And then, as the Vishnuduta said, he had this quality of manana. He heard with great concentration, and what else? That's okay, I heard with great concentration, now good night, it's over. Sheshogya Shadira Vididal Jatendriya Dehiko. That was not the end of it. He heard the Bhagavatam from Gokarna, then with great concentration, because of his absolute necessity, he felt the utmost urgency to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. I need it. I have to have it. If I don't receive this message, I'm doomed forever, eternally damned and doomed, locked in this ghostly body, suffering moment to moment. And my stepbrother is providing some means to liberate, to help me. He's trying to help me, to let me be serious about it. The Bhagavad speaker is trying to help me, to free me from my suffering. Let me be serious about hearing the Bhagavatam. Let me concentrate. It is my humble request, if I can be so, not very humble, but I can make a request. I would like to make a request that everyone comes to the Srimad Bhagavatam class with a copy, as they say in Hindi, with a copy, which we call a notebook. If you have a notebook, then bring your laptop. But if you don't have the money, then, or you're embarrassed to show off your laptop, then come in with a notebook and take notes. This would be my humble request. And I guarantee that Srila Prabhupada would be very pleased by this. As soon as we stop being a student, we stop advancing in bhakti. Prabhupada was reading Bhagavatam. He was studying Bhagavatam. He was studying Shastra every day. Did he ever say, oh, I have all the Shastras. I am Veda Sagar. I am Shastra Shiromani, Mahamandaleshwara. I don't need any Shastra. I am self-effulgent, Jagadguru. He was always humbly serving the Shastras 5-6 hours a day in the middle of the night. Prabhupada was taking notes. So like father, like son. Well, we're better than Prabhupada. So I would like to come back here, if I'm so fortunate, next year, if I'm so lucky to return to this holy abode of Rasavihari Dham, that I would like to see everyone in front of me with notebooks taking, I mean, not in my class, maybe there's nothing to write about, but at least bring a notebook and you can dribble, you know, what do you call it, doodle. You can doodle on the pages or something if you can't find anything valuable to write. And you'll see how much value, because this is what Dundankari did. Dundankari heard with great concentration, but he didn't have any hands. He didn't have any hands, so he couldn't take notes. He only had mind and intelligence. He was a boot. But he noted everything very carefully in his brain. And then after the sapta, he did manana. Manana means contemplation, reflection. You collect, you hear, you collect, you make note, you concentrate, then later you meditate. What did I hear this morning? What was the value? What was the benefit? What was the application for me? What's the instruction? How will that improve my situation? How will that improve my devotion, my bhakti, my life, my consciousness, my attitude, my behavior, the position of my heart, my Krishna Sambandha, my Vaishnava Sambandha? So this is manana, reflection. So if you don't, later, like sometimes if you don't take notes, Prabhupada used to say, writing means remembering. Writing, taking notes means remembering. And then if you do manana and later, because if you don't take any notes, or even if you don't take notes and don't concentrate, 2 hours from now you say, did you go to Bhagavatam class? Yes. What was it about? I don't know. Some kind of story, you know, there was this ghost and the Bhagavatam and ghost and I don't know. Anyway, were you there? Yeah, I was there. Were you awake? I was awake. So this is Kali Yuga. Manda samanda mateo. So we need computers, we need notebooks, we need tape recorders, we need CDs, MP3s, headphones, this. So he did manana. He did manana. After he heard the Bhagavatam, he reflected and he thought deeply about it. And then the response to that manana was bhajan. Bhajan means worship. Worship means action. Action means response. He heard, he concentrated and heard. Then he did deep reflection meditation called manana. Then he thought, yes, I must worship these instructions. I must follow these instructions. So then he worshipped those instructions, he did bhajan. So the Vishnududa said, he attained perfection because he did manana and bhajan. He heard with great concentration, he reflected, then he understood, I must follow these teachings. This is Bhagavat Shravan with Shastriya Shraddha, with Shuddha Shraddha, pure faith. I hear with great concentration, it changes my mind, it changes my idea, and then I change my direction and my actions in life. That's bhajan. We think deeply through the day. So then Gokarna said, well, what about the rest of us? Then Gokarna held a second saptaha. Because everyone heard his instructions. So now the 500 people in the saptaha, they heard with great concentration. They all bought a notebook. A little slight editing there. Little interpolation, shastric interpolation. They all bought a notebook and a pen. No. But they bought their minds, the clear slate of their minds they bought, and they etched every teaching on their minds. They heard with great concentration. They did manana, they reflected. They went home after the saptaha, they reflected on the instructions. And they worshipped those instructions, and they followed them for 7 days. And what happened? After 7 days, boom. They were amazed. After 7 days, there were 500 Vaikuntha Vimans. 500 Vaikuntha Vimans descended to that Bhagavat Mandal, that Vaishnav Mandal, where the Bhagavat Sapta was going on. And the Vishnududas came, they said, yes, now all of you have attained the perfection, the Purna Phal, Purna Bhagavat Shravan, the Purna Phal of Bhagavat Shravan. You've all attained Vaikuntha. So they all went to Vaikuntha. The whole assembly, because they heard with concentration, they did contemplation or manana and bhajan, they worshipped the instructions, they followed them, and they accepted them in their life, they changed their direction and activities in life. What happened to Gokarna? Gokarna, because he was living the Bhagavatam, he was dedicated to the Bhagavatam, he was a speaker of the Bhagavatam, he got a Rolls Royce. He got a special Viman, because he didn't go to Vaikuntha, he went to Brajagokul. He went to Goloka Vrindavan to be with Krishna, which was told in the previous, when the Vishnududas came the first time to take his stepbrother Dundunkari, they went back. I mean, he said, when Gokarna said, what about us? None of us are going back to Vaikuntha. They said, yes, if they hear like this, everyone will go back to Vaikuntha. And you, because you are a Bhagavata. You are a Bhagavata. You are living the Bhagavatam. You're not just coming for 7 days. You are living day and night the Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Sevaya. You are serving the Bhagavatam, breathing the Bhagavatam, speaking the Bhagavatam, meditating in the Bhagavatam, remembering the Bhagavatam. You, my dear friend, Gokarna, you are going to Goloka Vrindavan to be with that Gopal, to be with that coward boy of Braj. So these are some ideas for the proper hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can get from this verse and the teachings of Maitreya Muni and the illumination by our divine guide and ever-well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any comments or questions? Try both. That's our whole process. Whatever works best. Try taking notes for 1 month. Not only taking notes, the manana, what is the manana? How do we apply the manana aspect, the contemplation aspect? Do we sit down and meditate? No, what it means is our meditation is speaking Harikata. So we take notes and then we meet with our friends. Instead of talking gossip and chit-chat and latest maya and terrorism and blowing up buildings and this and that, we say, oh, I took notes this morning in class. Oh, so did I. Let's compare notes. So you're reading your notes and you missed something because you were taking notes and he missed something. But then you put your heads together, your notebooks together, and you churn the ocean of Harikata, and all kinds of waves of happiness, knowledge and bliss come from that churning. So we go into the office, we meet some devotees, and they have a notebook. No, this is the way the whole community starts getting more saturated with Harikata. So throughout the day we're reflecting on the morning's class. In the early days of ISKCON, the devotees used to memorize the verse. the Sanskrit verse, they would read the verse and they would memorize it. And throughout the day, the different devotees were mentioning that the Sanskrit verse. They say, what was the verse? They say, oh, Sharayach, like this. That was a practice among the devotees. They had that enthusiasm. They would memorize. This is 1969, 1970, early days. They would memorize. There was one Sanskrit verse and they would memorize it, and throughout the day they were speaking it. But I would suggest the win-win situation is try for 1 month taking notes, not only taking notes, but discussing your notes with your wife. Husbands and wives, most people are grihasthas. So the husband takes notes, wife's home with the kids. He goes home with his notebook. Oh, class was so nice. She maybe says, oh, I heard it on the radio, maybe you have a radio system. Oh, with the kids, so much distraction. Oh, with the class, oh, did you hear this part? And then the husband's discussing Harikatha. And that's the whole purpose of having a sangha. Husband, wife, brahmachari, whatever. The center is Harikatha. It's the center of our life, the center of our home, the center of our existence. Harikatha. So this is a nice counterpoint that it's a fact that some can hear with rapt attention. But maybe let's suggest it this way. If you're a new devotee, take notes. And as you become purified and get your mind becomes pure and more attentive, and you develop ruchi, and you're really awake, and you're really absorbing, and when your pure mind and senses and heart, then abandon a notebook and just absorb it. Now you can find out how much absorbed you are and how much concentrated you are later when you tell other people what you heard. If you can do that, well and good. But if you say, oh, I really concentrated and I really absorbed myself, and 2 hours later I say, what did you hear? I don't know. So then, well, better take notes. The whole idea is to collect and distribute. Collect the Harikatha, distribute amongst ourselves, distribute to others. And we'll become enriched, we'll become pure, we'll become enlivened. This is the backbone of our spiritual life. There's five backbones. One of them is Satkirtan, and worship, and the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan. Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga Bhagavat Shravan. We should hear the Bhagavatam in association. Rasik, and it says Bhagavat Swado. It says one should taste Bhagavat Swado, Bhagavat Shravan Swad. We should taste the meaning of the Bhagavatam in association with advanced devotees. And that's what the Bhagavatam class is all about. Taste it now in the class and chew it later. Taste it again later. Like a cow. A cow eats some grass. He's tasting the grass. Oh, this is nice grass. Then 2 hours later, doop, it goes in his belly, he swallows the grass, and 2 hours later it comes out of his belly and he chews it again. And tastes it again. He's a real bhavuka, a relisher of the grass. So we hear Bhagavat Shravan, then later we discuss Bhagavat Katha, Bhagavat Katamritam. This is Sadhu Sangha. This is the basis of Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Katha. Some other question, comment? The question is that Gokarna was reciting Bhagavatam, and the first time he recited it for the benefit of for everyone, and his brother got the most benefit, his stepbrother, why didn't he get a ticket, as it said? Why didn't Gokarna get a ticket? Maybe the other people wouldn't get a ticket, but Gokarna was certainly hearing with faith and with rapt attention and with manana and bhajan and worshipping Bhagavatam. So why didn't Gokarna go with his stepbrother and dance together back to Vaikuntha? That's the question. It's a good question. Because there were 500 people that needed to get liberated. He was from that village. And Krishna, this is my idea, it's not really explained that I remember. I skimmed through the story. Doesn't say exactly why he didn't take off then, but obviously, since Krishna's controlling everything, it's an obvious conclusion that these people didn't get the message the first time, the other 500 people, and as a teaching to all of us, this was given. This is a leela of the Lord. This whole arrangement of the Bhagavat, distribution of Bhagavatam is the leela of the Lord. It is the Lord. The Bhagavatam is the Lord. So the distribution of Bhagavatam is also the Lord's leela. And how it's distributed in what particular ways, it's also Krishna's leela. It's under the Yogamaya Shakti. So Gokarna, he was qualified and to be liberated, and he's already liberated. That's the other thing. He's engaged in the pure bhakti. So So then when they came back, when the Vaikunthavasis came again, then they gave a very valuable teaching. So if he got liberated, they wouldn't have come back and that teaching wouldn't have been there about manana and bhajan. And also in the teachings, an interesting note is that Vishnudutta's, when Gokarna asked the Vishnudutta's, well, why didn't everybody else get liberated? And he said, the Vishnudutta said the quality of their hearing was not proper, was not up to the mark. So they didn't get the full effect. In other words, to get the full effect of any devotional practice, there must be some qualification and some receptivity, something from our side. 100 people are chanting the same Maha Mantra. Some people are watering the weeds of bhukti, kutinati, and ahimsa. They're watering the weeds of sin. They're watering the weeds of material activities. Mahaprabhu is telling us by chanting the Maha Mantra. Other people are chanting the Maha Mantra and they're watering the creeper of prema lata, bhakti lata, prema lata. They're watering the creeper and it's growing luxuriant. Same mantra, same chanting. So the quality of our chanting, the attitude, the mentality, the heart, the position of the heart and mind, which is the quality behind it, the backing of our practice is crucial, utmost importance. So in that context of discussion, the Vishnudutta's are not only talking about hearing Bhagavatam, they say many things. One thing they say, if one is chanting japa without concentration, it is fruitless. Nishfal. Japa nishfal. If one is chanting japa, of course in this context, when they use the word japa, it can mean anik, the Trisandhyam Vandanam. Because the word japa can also mean your Brahma Gayatri. Brahma Vandanam, you're a Sandhya Vandanam three times a day. That's also called japa, and it can also mean chanting japa and mala. So if you're chanting Gayatri, what we call chanting our Gayatri, that's what we say, anik, if it's done without concentration and manana, reflection, and a mood of humility and bhajan and worship, then there's no fruit, it's fruitless. Over chanting japa without concentration, it's called distraction. It's called inattention. It's aparadnam. So this was also another side point in the same shiksha, the upadesha of the Vishnudutas. Anything else? The question is that Bhagavatam class is meant for everyone. So those devotees that are illiterate or cannot write, then that means they... Bhagavatam, I'm not sure. Bhagavatam is meant, so that means they have no access to the Bhagavatam because they can't take notes. They can't write and take notes and later reflect. No, they can hear. There's no bar. They can hear nicely. And if they may be illiterate, but if they have 2,000 rupees, they can buy a tape recorder. They can buy a CD player for 2,000 rupees and record the Bhagavatam. Even an illiterate person can run a tape recorder, record the Bhagavatam, and play it back later while he's taking prasadam, while he's driving, and hear the Bhagavatam. And the more we hear the Bhagavatam, the more we'll remember it and become purified. So the Bhagavatam is open for everyone. If you can take notes, very good. If you can take notes in your brain, very good. If you can record it, very good. The whole idea is to hear with faith, surrender to the teachings, and follow them in your life, whether you're literate or illiterate. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.